Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I want to start out tonight by sending thoughts and prayers to Texas. What a horrendous situation that is down there. You know, sadly, it's more common than not anymore. And with that being said, hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Naomi.
Good to hear you both.
Hi. Good to hear you.
How's it going?
So far, so good. Okay. Well, so far, so good. Looking forward to hanging out with both of you and, you know, delving into some awesome poetry.
All right. Okay. Excuse me, I am so sorry. I just can't stop yawning tonight, so I apologize ahead of time. Okay, well, I don't know, Miss Naomi, tell us about your doors.
Yeah, well, I would just, you know, thank God for Pinterest. You know, I was just going over Pinterest, and, you know, I came onto this account, you know, where this girl had all kinds of pictures of these doors, and I said, oh, wow, you know, that would be cool, you know, just beyond the door. So, you know, I just clicked on some of those pictures, picked them out, and some of those doors that I thought were really cool, and I couldn't stop myself, so I don't know how many doors I put up, but anyway, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Funny how sometimes ideas just crawl up on you.
Absolutely. That's usually what happens to me. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I find something. I'll do that in the next day or two. Because I need to find something for next Tuesday. Oh, my gosh. But yeah, but it's nice when you run into those things because it's like, yes, and your wheels start turning as you're gathering each picture. So it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, with this one, it was really neat because, you know, I didn't even have to look up any quotes or anything. I just, you know, those doors, I thought they were inspiring enough. You know, you could say, you know, write so much about anything, you know, just from looking at the door. So it was pretty cool. Pretty easy contest, but I mean, you know, it just... Great that I came across those pictures.
yeah, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. So that's good for us. Very cool. There were some great pictures. And doors are always intriguing because there's a lot of ways you can go with them. You know, they're very symbolic in a lot of ways. So, yeah, it's great inspiration. Mm-hmm.
Well, I see Tom's out on the board. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. And by the looks of things, we have, I figure we'll start out with the carryovers and then we'll work our way into the doors. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah. So are we still just us three on the lines or did we have
I do have a caller to bring on, so I'd like to say welcome, Tom. Glad you could join us.
Hey,
hi, Tom.
Hello, Naomi.
Good to have you with us. I'm so happy.
Absolutely.
Whenever you're ready, Phil. And put up our first phone.
Okay. Well, Naomi, I'm going to let you start us off since this is your baby. I'm going to let you rock it. And here we go.
Yeah.
Kenny W.
Okay. So are you selecting readers, Phil?
Well, that's what I said, Naomi.
Yeah,
I put that up for you.
Oh, okay. So I read it. Okay. So this is called Erzabet and the Mermaid. To walk barefoot on a pebble beach, selecting stones within your reach, and along with the waves you depart, our mermaid with such beautiful art. She does, our mermaid, have feet and toes and supernatural friends no one knows. But yes, for sure, she has the notion that life is salty and sweet in that ocean. It is to the studio where her friends reside, bags of inspiration placed by her side. This one is a leg, this one is an arm, another a head, which to charm. The pebbles make up us such different people, dogs, butterflies, and church steeples. How can our mermaid know all of these things? Perhaps the morning tide does sing. So look out at all that art covering the sand. Life on the shoreline is rarely bland. In the shallows, the artist and the mermaid meet. See the mermaid's fishtail and Elizabeth's feet. Together, their filled bags, they do swoop, a brief embrace, that's their loot. Back to their homes, they both do race. Their art makes the world a better pace. End poem.
Oh, this is such amazing.
Yeah, amazing, right? By, who was it? By Kenny W. Yeah, he does an awesome tribute to the artist, Elizabeth. You could just imagine her along the beach there, just choosing those different stones, you know, to make up the people in her art. So just amazing. What did you think, Tom?
I thought it was lovely, but they gave it sort of a magical feel. Almost, it took a greater sensibility to being human, all this, but sort of a magical relationship to the universe and all the things that were in it. It's kind of very lovely.
Mm. You sound like you're in a submarine or something, Tom. I don't know. Do you girls hear that?
It sounded like he was kicking in and out, so I thought maybe it was just me at first, so I was kind of tuning in.
Coming up from the depths below.
Well, there you sound better.
Yeah, that sounds a little better.
Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, first of all, wonderful rhyme and flow. I have to agree with you that this is a wonderful tribute to the artist and her process of creating her artwork with pebbles. But, you know, I thought it was a wonderful tribute to creativity in general and how we can find inspiration in the smallest things for art, for poetry, for, you know, making life beautiful. And I thought also it was just a wonderful way to give nod to how the imagination can be, like, opened up and broadened. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah, that's an amazing observation there, Pam. It's true that we can find, you know, the inspiration and beauty in the most, the smallest, simplest things in life. So just very well said there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was really an excellent write. I love the imagery all throughout. I have to agree with you and Pam. It was a wonderful tribute. And I thought it was a great tribute to the highlighted artist. So much enjoyed. Thanks, Kenny. Great job.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Kenny. Great, great write. Hope to have you write future contests for us. Amazing writing. And where does that take us next, Phil?
I have no idea. I'll tell you what. Thomas, can I get you to read the next one for us, hon?
Sure. I'm more than capable of that. Let me just get over to the right place here.
Okay.
Blooming Pebble by Jack Bloom. On a ghostly night, the note of moonlight fell, canceled, lost in fantasy, painted pebble in his mind. Gretel, feeling just inspired, found them in her heart, where they twinkled blue, simply can an Eskimo. Wow. The darkness shone when the pebbles fading in appeared over there in pure reality. The stony bells rang gradually for Christmas to be a joyous boulevard stretching to infinity.
Yeah, I think that was an awesome read there, Tom. And, you know, this has a magical, fairy-like tale to this whole rite, this feeling. You know, the way he used Hansel and Gretel and, you know, I guess instead of using breadcrumbs, they use a road of pebbles, you know, to find their way. just a wonder, witty, and just, you know, I just enjoyed this ride. It was just so delightful. What did you think, Pam?
This is a wonderful brevity. I thought it was very clever. You know, like you mentioned, the use of Hansel and Gretel and the idea of getting lost in fantasy. I really like that line. Hansel lost in fantasy painted pebbles in his mind. And then I like the third stanza, wow, the darkness shone when the pebbles fading and appeared over there in the pure reality. It's almost like the magic of it all, the magic light of the fantasy world just kind of disappeared as reality became all that was visible. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Well said there, Pam. And Tom, you read that so beautifully. What were your thoughts?
Well, I like the way he picked up on the Hansel and Gretel theme and the use of the stones in place of breadcrumbs. But I also like the way he brought in pianissimo and fortissimo. Into this as well, and then that last verse, gradually fortissimo, to be a joyous boulevard stretching to infinity, as if their escape was more than just an escape from an evil witch, but also a journey to something better, something more joyous, something beyond the reach of those people. I just thought it was kind of a neat way he played the fantasy out and took it to places that it hadn't been imagined before. Very nicely.
Amazing comment there, Tom. To me anyway, you seem to be fading in and out. Like I get some. Some lines, and then there's like a bubbly sound. I don't know if it's probably the connection or something there.
Yeah, it's almost static-y.
Yeah, like a lot of static going on. I don't know if you could ring back in, maybe try and get a better connection.
Well, we can give that. Let me give that a try.
Okay. And Jean, what did you think of the poem?
Well, you know, I thought this was, I really liked the brevity. And I thought there was great imagery in the piece. But it was a great tale retold. You know, it had its own twist on it. But, you know, the Hansel and the Gretel and the breadcrumbs and the pebbles, it was clever and it was a nice spin on it. So nice job, Jack, and thanks for sharing with us all. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very, very witty and clever indeed. Thank you, Jack, for a great ride here. And where are we going next, Phil?
Well, I have one here for Pam. So, Pam, whenever you are ready, pieces by Daniel.
All righty. And this is Carved Pebble by Daniel Duhaime. And it goes like this. Carved from a tiny needle, a minute picture was formed onto a pebble of lush green forest and moss-laden ground. As two tiny people hold hands, captivated by the scenery before them in a dream state of never-ending beauty, a tiny river flowed beyond the trees, filled with plankton and water lilies, captured forever in a miniature landscape in fine detail, which took months to conceive. Placed in the edge of the water like a time capsule of forgotten love, placed in its place so that someday it would be found, and placed in a place of honor to commemorate its hidden treasure of a forgotten masterpiece. End poem.
Amazing read there, Pam, and an amazing, amazing write here by Daniel Duhaime. I just loved how he incorporated so much nature into this beautiful write. he did capture, like, you know, the way the artist worked, you know, captured forever in a miniature landscape in fine detail, which took months to conceive. And I did say that, you know, when I researched on this artist, that she did take months to create one single piece. So I loved how he, you know, he must have researched and on the artist before writing this. And you know, it's always amazing when a poet does that, does his research. But this is an amazing, amazingly well written poem, indeed. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I think that this was definitely a picture well painted. You know, now, and I can say that because there's no image to this piece. Had the image been posted with it, I'm sure it was a great reflection on that. But because there is none, what I can say is this was a really well done piece because it had wonderful imagery, and it painted a fabulous picture because you can envision everything he's talked about. So without having any visuals to it, I mean, I think it was just a beautifully written piece. Nice job. Great job, Daniel.
Yeah, indeed, it's a piece that stands on its own. You, like you said, Phil, you can't imagine, you know, the picture, even if there's none there. So just amazing the way he wrote the whole poem. And Pam, you read that beautifully. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. And I agree with you, Naomi, that you can tell he did his research about the artist's process and how it would often take months to conceive. I really like the imagery in this, as two tiny people hold hands, captivated by the scenery before them in a dream state of never-ending beauty. You know, I like that he put the word captivated. He brought the emotion into the artwork. And I also liked and placed in a place of honor to commemorate its hidden treasure. I like how that's all about the artwork itself and how you can get messages out of artwork, you know, and everybody gets a different message. And it also, you know, just really absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent comment. True. You know, artists, that's what's so amazing about art is that we all can read our own interpretation of it. And amazingly well said there, Pam. And Tom, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, and your thoughts on Daniel's poem?
Well, I kept thinking about what he was saying, and finally I realized what was going on. It's a carved from a tiny needle. A minute picture was formed unto a pebble. It was all painted, all done on one single stone. And he describes the picture and the time it takes to create it all in this tiny piece. So all of a sudden, when you get to place in its place so that someday it would be found, this stone that had all this all done it, and placed in a place of honor upon thee to commemorate its hidden treasure. I mean, it's really fascinating because he's taken the whole idea in the art of the pebble work and turned it around so that the work is all upon a single pebble and created sort of his own level of magic by turning things sort of inside out in a way. Quite fascinating.
His work, her work was fascinating, as is this right. Very well said there, Tom. And Phil, where are you taking us next?
Oh, you know, on a trip. I got two tickets to Paris. Let me see. I'm going to read the next one. So let me put this up. The next piece I'm going to put up. It's called Rocky Point Cove, and it is by Paul Brush. So let me see. I love viewing sunsets over the Rocky Point Cove. Three kids, three pets uniquely wove. Memories of summers past, along with their reason for being. Away from crowds and a sight much worth seeing. Darkness only minutes removed. Cat and nine tails swiftly moved. They wish upon the setting sun. Let's never be alone. Ties that bind, etched in stone. Remained here till the lighthouse lit, absorbing rays of comfort fit. And to their joy of simple gifts, rippling waves and a windward drift. End poem.
No, I just love the rhyme and flow of this piece. It's just, it's so enchanting. Those last lines really grabbed me there. Absorbing rays of comfort fit into their joy of simple gifts, rippling waves and a windward drift. He captured the art so beautifully, and he put meaning into the whole piece here by his words. What did you think, Tom, this write?
I thought it was really warm. I took the picture. It was really nice. It expresses, lovely rhyme and so that you the feeling of a family really being together, really taking in everything that is there before them to be seen, and becoming adults because of the way they are experiencing their togetherness. It's really lovely, lovely piece.
Indeed. Yeah, I agree. There's warmth in here. There's love. You feel the love. You feel the family, the togetherness, the loving that's in the family. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I liked how this had it was beautiful, it was heartfelt, it had a real nostalgic feel to it. And the idea of those summertime getting together with the family, the kids are young, and you can feel the togetherness in it, you can feel the love. And I really like the phrase, ties that bind, etched in stone, remain here till the lighthouse lit, absorbing rays of comfort fit. That's just a wonderful observation, a wonderful line on the idea of just spending time together and finding comfort in one another. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, the artwork chosen was one of my favorites, and this poem really reflected the art itself. So very great write and take on the prompt here by Paul Brote. So thank you, Paul Brote. And Phil, did I ask you?
No.
No, you read that beautifully. What are your thoughts?
I thought it was really nicely penned. Great reflection on the prompt, as you said. And I just thought it was a wonderful brevity. I think that it's so reflected that image. It was wonderful. And then again, it would have been a standalone piece without the image. It's just, it's kind of neat to see people's take on the images themselves. But, you can definitely view it, and you don't have to have it in front of you in order to see it. So I think that's great. Nice job, Paul Brott.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Great, great write. And Phil, where are we going next?
Well, I'm coming back to you. Here we go. This one's Pebble, the Survivor by... I don't know her name.
Vijaya? We'll say just Vijaya. Pebble, survivor. Born as an atom, took years and years to collect soil on me to settle. Harsh weather and worldly pressure subjected to me, make me strong. With endurance, I became a rock, standing tall and magnificent. Held closely in the mud, I became a part of the mountain. Flora and fauna enhanced my looks. I gloated and bloated, wrapped in green rug. I felt warm and comforted. But one day a man stopped by, took all the green away, blasted the mountain and scattered my home away. Broken and shattered I lay, bond loosened by cruelty, forced by mankind to split. I split in thousand pieces. With my spirit to survive, smoothened by the harsh world, small yet strong, never losing hope, laying the pathway, I became a pebble. This is just an amazing, amazing write about, you know, even though, meet up with so much harshness from the world and, trouble and hardships, you know, you can still be, you know, although you can be small, but yet you can be strong. And if you only have the hope to carry on there, laying small yet strong, never losing hope, laying the pathway, I became a pebble. And, you know, pebbles are, come from strong mountains, but they are part of something that was once bigger, but yet they are still, you know, what they are, amazing, small pebble, but just as important and just as amazing. What did you think of Tom, this right?
It's kind of unique, viewers think. Stop and really look at what it takes to create this. And how, you know, in starting as something large and magnificent, you're still finding yourself even after it's scattered and reduced into a tiny, insignificant. Small, strong, and never lose hope. Laying pathway. There's a great sense of never losing sight of being the circumstance. I just felt quite lovely.
Mm-hmm. We're still losing you, Tom. You'll have to talk louder or something. We're still losing you a bit. But anyway, we'll try and continue on and see if that static settles out there. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, the static could just be a studio thing. I don't know, just a thought. I thought this was a powerful write, a wonderful extended metaphor on the idea of how a mountain is created, and then how the earth is destroyed by mankind's mistreatment of it. And I like how this is about how you can lose everything except for that small, like, grain of hope, that pebble, which is so filled with possibilities of new paths to walk. So excellent writing, very well done.
Excellent comment there, Pam. It's true. If you lose hope, you lose everything, you know. But if you still have the hope, you have that glint of light there that everything is still possible. So, you know, hope is everything. Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think this was a wonderful write. I really did. Wonderful expression of her thoughts throughout. I liked her final stanza, but there were good stanzas all through the piece. but, you know, with my spirit to survive, smoothed by all the harsh world, smoothed by the harsh world, sorry. Small yet strong, never losing hope, laying the pathway, I became a pebble. That's the thing. If you never give up, because hard times and adversities will smooth out all those rough edges we have, that's for sure. You know, I got a few other things it does, but I'm going to be nice. It there's a lot of truth in here, and you know, you can't let the hard times and those rough times, you know, make you lose hope, because sometimes we come out better on the other end. So that's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
but
true.
Like, yeah, which I am. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
And where are you taking us next, Phil? Sorry.
It's okay. I'm going to go to Thomas next. And Thomas, oh, nope, that's not what I was doing there. Can't put up the last line to that poem again. Here we go. Okay, Thomas, whenever you are ready. This one's by Quiet Wolf.
I'm looking for the poem. Oh, there it is. That moment. That moment when everything clicks. A cup of Java, a hint of romance. Is she the one? Small talk, quiet, laughter, little lies, big promises. Background music. Buzzing bees, dancing butterflies, a train rolls by, relaxed, dress melts away. And you feel that you've known her all your life, that moment, that one very special moment when it all comes together. Drink, dessert, away.
Oh, this is amazing. Amazing read there, Tom. This is the awe moment. I just love his title. Yeah, it's true. You know, when the awe moment, when everything clicks. And, you know, I love how he brings in the cup of Java into this, and you know, I just love that the stanza of the background music, the buzzing bees, dancing butterflies, you know, a train rolls by, relaxed, stress melts away, you know, just when everything comes together, you know, that awe moment when you say, yeah, she's the one for me, you know, it's just, it reflects a brilliant take on that prompt, you know, of those two, that couple sitting in like a little cafe there, maybe on a date, a first date or something. Just an amazing little write here, so beautiful. Pam, what did you think?
You know, this is just, it's sweet. It's, you know, it's another one that kind of has a nostalgic feel. It just takes you back to a time of, you know, milkshakes and jukeboxes, and, you know, it has that first date butterfly in the stomach feel, and, you know, it's filled with, like, romantic possibilities. You know, I just really enjoyed this one all the way through, and very well done.
Yeah, I agree. Drink that coffee, dessert awaits, you know, dessert, all the future that they can have together, you know, all the possibilities are there. Tom, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
Well, I love it. This is really a great expression of the picture, because the poem just takes the picture and shows you all this kind of really romantic, magical moment that's caught, waiting there to be discovered in that picture. From the "Is she the one?" to to the small talk, background music, all the little bits and pieces that the poet brings into this, and it just makes the whole picture resonate in ways that it hadn't before. I just thought this was a really lovely, lovely use of poetry and the working together to create something magical and much more than either one by themselves. Beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautifully done indeed. All the little things, those little moments, those little pieces, those little details that you put into that, right? And feel your thoughts.
You know, I really like this piece a lot. I thought it was a great brevity, and I thought that it was an excellent nod to the image. Fun and creative, right? You know, I really liked it. And what I liked about it, even as an afterthought, when I looked at it, the image itself struck me as a brevity. You know, it was just this small, wonderful little piece of art. And I think that this poem really reflected it very well. So,
mm-hmm.
Nice job.
Great observation there, Phil. So true. Yeah. I love the art with the posters on the background. It's true what Pam said, too, the nostalgic feeling that you get. You also get it in the art as you get it in the poem.
Yeah.
And, Phil, where are you taking us next?
Well, I'm going to ask you to read the next one, Naomi. I've got to skip Pam
okay.
on this one. But I'm coming back to her. So this is the last one for the Pebble series. So here we go.
Okay. Okay. So this is by Random Scribbler, especially for you. I must tell you that standing close to the sea of my heart, you dropped cobbles of desire that reached my core, but they didn't touch the essence of my soul. And if on the edge you continue to remain positioned, you will never be able to fathom the sentiments in my bosom, because your terms of endearment, while music to my ears, and your gazes of passion, while balm to my eyes, are not suffice to quench the yearnings of my spirits. They need your true devotion. The ripples of excitement that your love pebbles created in my heart, now fluttering through my veins, asked of you to take more pains. Will you try to look for and get hold of the trove of adoration hidden from everyone, especially for you? Not demanding much, just dive deep into your heart. You will find what you want. This little effort you will have to make, for the density of the ocean cannot be gauged by those who fear the depths. Pearls cannot be found by those who avoid the waves. You know, this is such a wonderful, deep write. I love the message that is left, you know, throughout, especially at the end. You know, such a beautiful worded stanza there. For the density of the ocean cannot be gauged by those who fear the depths. Pearls cannot be found by those who avoid the waves. What did you think, Tom, of this, right?
I like the way he acknowledges the love for caring, but speaks how she has to give up her sense of safety. Really, not only love him, but do it by reaching into herself, becoming to grips with her own feelings so that she can fully be there and be his. And it's really in many ways a discussion about what courage is, how love is both an act of giving but it's also an act of bravery. It's really kind of fascinating. It's coming at it from an angle you don't often see. It makes a really neat read.
Mm-hmm. Well, very well said there. Great observation there, Tom. And Pam, your thoughts?
I really like this. I like how she took the idea of, you know, the imagery and the metaphor of the water, of the ocean, and of the pebbles dropped into the ocean, you know, and used it for the thought that, you know, what we have right now isn't enough. I don't want that on the surface, love. I don't want this just to be about, you know, touching the heart, just about being romantic or being physically attracted to each other. I want this to be something deeper. I want you to be willing to be dive in deep and be fully committed to us touching each other's spirits. So just a beautiful write and very well done.
Very well said there, Pam. Amazing comment. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was a really nicely penned piece. And I thought the emotions throughout were well expressed. I thought there was a lot of really good lines in this, but I grabbed up these two couplets. That's the word. Will you try to look for and get hold of the trove of adoration hidden from everyone, especially for you? I am not demanding much. Just dive deep into my heart. You will find what you want. This little effort you will have to make. You know, interesting thoughts there. You know, drawing someone in deeper. But you're going to have to make this effort in order to find that. You know, it's interesting, but nicely done. A great piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting take on the you know, the how pebbles inspired her to write this powerful piece there on you know, the taking and giving in a relationship, and you know, and she made it like sincere, you know, the way she wrote it sounds so sincere, right? So thank you, Radham Scribbler. And Phil, where are we going next?
Well, now I have to go back to Pam. So, Pam, you're going to kick off the doors, man. So here we go.
All right. kick the door in.
That's right.
All right. Sounds fun to me. All right, here we go. This is The Door to My Dreams by Vicky Moore, and it goes like this. A rough-hewn ladder led up to the plain wooden door, a small porch and house made from wooden planks. It looked like it could barely hold a small closet. Filled with curiosity, I climbed the ladder and knocked. I don't know what I expected, but I heard a voice bid me enter. Cautiously, I opened the door and walked inside, for indeed there was an inside. I saw no one waiting at the door for me, so I walked in further and closed the door. The ceiling was at least 19 feet tall, made of oak and varnished to a diamond-bright shine. Tall windows shone with sunlight through the day, though the day was gloom outside. Each window had its own window seat, bright cushions to sit on or lounge on, with shelves of books surrounding them. Winding stairs led to up to three more floors, each one filled with shelves of books and statues of all sizes, dragons and gnomes and glowing crystal balls and swords, walls covered with paintings, bright flashes of color, fairies with gossamer wings and elves with pointy ears. They seemed to follow me as I wandered, bells of laughter leading me forward. The kitchen was painted bright yellow and bright copper pans hung above a sink, flanked by an old-fashioned icebox and stove. A bright red bowl of apples on a counter, so beautiful, I couldn't help but take one. Crisp apple filled my watering mouth. voices seemed to stir all around me, but I couldn't understand the words, other than a faint whisper calling me forward. The next room held a bed covered in purple sheets, scented like jasmine and lavender. The windows on either side shone, looking out on the woods and the sky, a soft blue filled with cottony clouds. The giggles became louder and louder until I could finally hear them clearly. By your own choice, you have entered here and eaten the food of the fairies. Here you will remain forever. Surprisingly, I wasn't afraid, but overjoyed. Fairies, gnomes, and elves appeared, all joining in a dance and song of welcome. After the dancing and the introductions were complete, I sank into the cloud, soft bed, and slept. And poem.
Ah, such a beautiful write and such a beautiful read there, Pam. You know, this makes me think of when you sink into a book, you get lost within the pages. And, you know, it makes me think of when I was young and we had this little tree house in the back of the house that me and my brothers built. And, you know, it was our own secret little place. And, you know, we dreamed of everything, you know, that everything could be possible in that little tree house. And just a wonderful, right? You know, so much beautiful imagery in here. And, you know, just such a magical piece. What did you think, Tom?
I found this really kind of fascinating because he took the picture and brought you into the scene. And then once the door was opened, it became a magical wonderland where it was almost the genie coming out of the bottle. She went into the bottle and joined the genie. It became quite fascinating how the description of this larger than life experience, and then suddenly discovering that even though in a sense she was trapped, in many more ways it was like she was rewarded. Kind of utterly fascinating, really beautifully done.
Mhm. Yeah, I agree so much there with what you said there, Tom. The amazing piece. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. What were your thoughts?
I thought this was an amazing tale. I really like how it was a treat for all the senses. The taste, the sound, you know, the imagery. Bigger space behind the smaller door really reminded me of that scene in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I liked that. And the whole time I was reading, I kept thinking, you know, there's going to be a twist. There's going to be a twist. Something dark is going to happen. Whenever you eat food in a strange place where with voices you don't understand, you know something dark is going to happen. And I almost thought it was going to, when they said, by your own choice, you have entered here and eaten the food of the fairies. Here you will remain forever. And I thought, oh, goodness gracious, here it goes. Yeah, but then he gives another twist of, surprisingly, I wasn't afraid, but overjoyed. So here's somebody that, unlike most stories of the, because this has been a theme done before, you know, where you go somewhere, like, you know, even, was it Persephone who went into the Hades and ate a pomegranate seed, I think, if I remember right? Yeah, and then what was supposed to be to have to stay there. You know, there's in mythology, there's that common theme. You go somewhere, and you're not to eat or drink anything. You do, then you're stuck there. But what this turns out to be is this person is overjoyed. They've found where they feel at home, where they feel most, like, blessed and secure. So I thought it was just a wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, indeed. Bravo, Vicky Moore. Yeah, I so agree with you, Pam. Just magical, magical, right? And Phil, your thoughts?
you know, I thought this was just a wonderful tale told, and I thought it was a great take on the chosen prompt. I mean, she definitely looked at that prompt and created something all her own, and I thought it was a wonderful imaginative piece and very creative, but I found it most enjoyable. So, excellent job, Vicki Moore.
Yeah, it was just enchanting, just a really enchanting piece. Great take on that prompt there, Vicki. And Phil, where are you taking us next?
Oh, I'm going to read the next one all by myself.
Oh, like a big girl.
Okay, this one is called Forgotten by Darkened Auras. Beyond the broken window pane, a withered branched off insane echoes wail in the whistled wind without anyone on which they can depend. Past the old forgotten asylum doors, spirits broken, living gruesome chores, lust lonely souls kept tucked away, now trapped within, they'll always stay. End poem.
Yeah, we had this on the last week's Brevity show, the theme was voices there. And, you know, you feel those voices of all those people that were, you know, put in the slums, you know, back in those ages. You know, I was saying on that show that here in Quebec, you know, there was even children, you know, orphaned children. Yeah. The government didn't know what to do with them, and so they just stuck them in these mental hospitals to discover years later that there was nothing wrong with them at all, you know. You know, they were just forgotten, just tucked away there, and, you know, like she says, trapped, you know, trapped within. Just an amazing, amazing piece. And you know, that door that I put up was the most, the preferred one, the most chosen prompt was that door. So, yeah, I had amazing rights from that. And this is one of them by Darkened Auras. Just an amazing write. And Pam, your thoughts?
I don't know if she's back yet.
Oh, Tom?
yeah. I like how she took this and thought the sense of being abandoned, the sense of left your own devices. Mentally challenged as a victim of those places where, because they didn't fit what people already decided were true, unlike the American Indians, who considered people with bipolar problems and other things by the God, we saw that the most difficult possible and to be hidden away from everything so that no one would have to see that act abnormal. And so the living gruesome chores, lost lonely souls, she resonates with a lot of the horrors of the old snake pit. Does it very well, a very brief piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree so much with what everything you said there, Tom. Amazing comment. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a well-written piece, and I felt it to be haunting. You know, it had that kind of lingering effect when you finish reading it. It still hangs there for a while. I thought it was a great take on the prompt. You know, when you look at that door, you know, one way if you look at the door, it doesn't look quite so dark. You know what I mean? But then if you look in a little bit deeper, it does kind of carry in that you know, abandoned asylum kind of feel to it. You know, I could see where she could get that vibe. So it was just a great piece, an excellent brevity, and bravo. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Great comment there, feel. And Pam, you're back. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is absolutely an amazing brevity. I did think it had a beautiful and haunting feel to it. I like how it spoke about the voices from the past, voices of those who had been left in asylums and forgotten, spirits broken, living gruesome chores, lost lonely souls kept tucked away. You know, to me, it really just was all about those who had been forgotten. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said there, Pam. Amazing comment. And Phil, to which door do you take us next?
Well, I'm going to knock on Tom's door.
Oh, okay.
Would you be so kind as to read this one for us? I would appreciate it.
All right. A Quick Look at the Past by Daniel Duhane. Knock thrice to enter. But if there is not another knock on the other side, take the gentle touch. A forbidden world lies beyond the door. It can only be seen with the third eye, a place of the past, spectral deep, locked with a time loop. Horses pull a transparent carriage along a winding road of gravel through a road of green trees. Night, locked in an embrace of death, fight together, spilling a blood-soaked land, caught in the midst of the boat. When leaving the doorway to enter the realm of reality, make the sign so that no evil may pass.
Great read there, Tom. You know, I asked Daniel what door he chose, and he said number one. And I looked at that door, and it's like a pretty little door. And he got this inspiration, you know, this really dark ride out of it, you know. So, you know, anything, any kind of door can inspire you in any kind of way. And it inspired him amazingly. You know, nights locked in an embrace of death, fight together, spilling a blood-soaked land, caught in the midst of limbo. You know, make the sign of the cross so that no evil may pass. Just amazing, right? I love also the beginning, you know, knock thrice to enter, but if there is not another knock on the other side, take heed, the gentle silence. She puts out a really mysterious feeling right in that first stanza, you know, and just goes all the way through with that, like, aura mystery and, you know, this fantasy land, you know, with dark land that lays beyond that door. So just an amazing write by Daniel Duhane here. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really thought this had an epic feel to it. I really like that he focused in on the cross in the center of the circle on the picture. And, you know, saw that as a symbol to, you know, scare, you know, keep evil away. I really thought this had some wonderful imagery. And phantom horses pull a transparent carriage along a winding road of gravel through rows of green trees. And, you know, just really, I like that it has that feel about, of that mystery of what possible darkness is behind the door. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing comment there. Amazing observation. The cross, the window, the other cross on the door. The window looks like a cross. So true. Ah, I bet that is where he got his inspiration from. It's amazing. Amazing comment there, Pam. And Tom, you read that wonderfully. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, this really plays with the idea that what appears innocent often leads to places where innocence is the last thing you would imagine. And he opens it up with the sense of you seek permission to enter, and you're greeted by silence. And then out of that silence, by letting yourself see what is there to be experienced in a psychic fashion, the ways of the world where life is not easy, and it's full of people battling their own fears, battling things that have been going on for centuries, that you're almost in a sense chased away, and when you leave, you recognize the importance of the sign of the cross, because you have to keep the darker side of your imagination at bay. I really thought it was kind of, once I found out it was that first door, I just thought it was extremely clever.
Indeed. Yeah. And especially, you know, with Pam's comment and then after your comment too there, it is very witty, how he took that door and went with it. And Phil, your thoughts?
I thought this was a really well-penned piece. I thought it was clever and creative work. And I thought it was nicely done. And I found it interesting that he would take such an innocent-looking picture and come up with the right, you know, about something pretty opposite. But what he's saying is it's a doorway to the past, a more innocent time kind of thing in my mind, I guess, would be the way I would think of it. And when you look at the image, it's so lighthearted that there's just no room for any evil there. You know, it's definitely outnumbered, you know, by the good. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty cool take on the image itself. So nice work, Daniel.
Oh, great work indeed. Just an amazing write by Daniel here. Comment there, Phil. And where do we go knock next, Phil?
Well, I'm going to knock to Pam's door. There we go.
Nobody at home.
Yeah. I saw you walk past the window. Nice try.
Yeah. All right. This is Moss Mason by Aphasiana, and it goes like this. Tucked away from cement city streets, carpeted in soft grass, far from cold bricked alleyways is a grotto draped in moss, embroidered with floral seams. Layers of life framed eggplant stained oak, humble passage to a sacred space. Nothing rich save the soil floor. Gold glimmers only as fireflies. Silver seen only in the fur of the ancients, a council of the forest folk. Each species represented, from beetles to bears, a den of truce with voices valued, permaculture. That peace preserved and home.
I just love this write. Aphasiana just has this way of writing. It's amazing, you know. Tucked away from cement streets, carpeted in soft green. Just amazing. And all the little details she put in here. Gold glimmers, the fireflies, the silver, the fur of the ancients, Council of the Forest Folk. She made a whole, a whole story out of her description. You know, you can just feel the whole setting for a whole tale here that's gonna unfold. Just an amazing write. What did you think, Tom?
These two bricks, the way the whole scene looks, tucked away from cement city streets, carpeted in soft green, far from the cold brick alleyways, the grotto draped in moss. Then she takes you into it, and it becomes a natural vista resonating with so much what you could see the goodness in nature's way, you know, humble passage, sacred space, nothing rich, save the soil for cold glimmers only as fireflies, silver seen only in the fur of the angel. And then finally, she brings you back out, and you realize you've been in a den of truth with voices valued, a permaculture that is preserved. And so in the end, she almost as if she wraps it back up and puts a ribbon around it and thinks it reminds you of how well you have been gifted just to know the moment. Very well.
Mm-hmm. Amazing comment there. Amazing observation, Tom. And Pam, your thoughts?
Well, I have had some steps. Absolutely gorgeous imagery, some nice, delicate, and beautiful use of alliteration. And I like how within this brevity, she shows a representation of the peace and the happiness and the balance found in nature. And when people work together, when nature works together, a council of fairy folks, each species represented from beetles to bears. I like that. There's to me a metaphor of leaving no one out, making sure everybody has a voice. So excellent rights and very well done.
Indeed. I agree so much with you there. And Phil, your thoughts?
I knew you were coming here. I sort of stayed down and did a wonderful job with this brevity. It was so packed full of fabulous imagery. And the story was it was great. It's hard to believe that, she accomplished so much with so little. And I know that's the wonder of brevity. I mean, I've seen wonderful brevities many times over. But it is still kind of amazing when you get a look at them and it's like, wow, how'd she do all that? But it's great. So nice job, Faviana. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, amazing brevity indeed. We're going to read it again, Pam, because we're going to have it on tomorrow's show. I put it on the show tomorrow, keeping it brief, because I thought it was so amazing. Great job, Faziana. And where are we going next, Phil?
I have a very glad for the next one, see? So I'm going somewhere completely different. We're going to play this piece called Queen of Sheba by Eric Svensson. So, Pam, whenever you're ready.
All right. Here, let me find that, and here we go.
Queen of Sheba, hearken, esteemed poets, gather round. Ground yourself by breathing deeply. As King Solomon did when he touched his beloved cedar tree, heads bowed in silence vows, royal carpenters waited. 12 white doves fluttered, fluted wings circled King Solomon's choice. O mighty cedar tree, your sacrifice will show my love for the Queen of Sheba. Thus much I ascertained in Lebanon. Calloused hands broiled the door in question. Intricate design spoke of a royal queen's complexity. Dexterity wove patterns of King Solomon's infatuation, hot Middle Eastern sun by day, nor the queen in question's passionate for luminous full night could eclipse, detract the cedar door from whispering its tale. Gather closer, esteemed poets, hearken to gentle harp music. Centuries later, the cedar door still glows, imbues the beauty of a mighty tree's sacrifice. Temple incense spiraled in the royal carpenter's pillared enclave. For 9 months they labored love's vein, King Solomon's heart chrysalis aglow with gratitude. Queen of Sheba would receive the doorway to his heart by and by. Fine filigree incisions on cedar wood, dimpled, dapple feel as each indenture spoke. Eyes closed, I sense King Solomon's adoration. No modern day rush to crush, usurp a pure lotus bloom. But the Queen of Sheba door in turn through hard braille, no parchment, paper, or digital archive contains within myriad legends the precise moment the Queen of Sheba's birth water broke. King Solomon's cedar wood door glistened with cedar wood tears of joy. Baby boy Nimrod's eyes would clear soon enough to behold his carved destiny, foretold by his cherubim cedarwood door protectors. End poems.
Oh, what a great write here by Eric Svensson. I love, you know, where that door, how it inspired him, the Queen of Sheba, and, you know, King Solomon, that he, you know, and he took the way he went with the prompt and the way he went with the door, you know, that the Queen of Sheba would receive the doorway to his heart. And then when he put in the baby boy, Nimrod, you know, Nimrod in the Bible, he was a great, great warrior. But, you know, of course, the kingdom of Nimrod fell, but he was known as a great warrior. And, yeah, so I just love, you know, this whole rite all through. It's really deep and intelligently written and very well researched. And, you know, there's great alliteration throughout, like Eric can always do it. And, yeah, just told a great tale. So, and, Tom, your thoughts on Eric's write?
I love how he starts with a sense of what the tree is made of and how it was born. The scent of thumb and loving the scent of the tree. And then bringing it into something that was going to create these doors as an expression of his love, as an opening to his love, as a pathway to the one he loved. And in the end, the doors themselves become a dedication to their child who comes forth from the doors, and whose future is written upon them. It's a really stunning piece of poetry and how he creates an entire biblical expression of the story and great in one of his form, his own unique imprint on it from start to finish. Stunning, Eric, just stunning.
Yeah, indeed. I agree. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this had amazing imagery and metaphors. I like how he writes about the sacrifice of the beloved cedar tree to become the doors that are an expression of love, an expression of infatuation. And I like how at the end he brings in the birth of Nimrod and the idea of the idea of prophecies fulfilled, of having one's destiny predicted in the carvings of the wood. I also really like the imagery in King Solomon's heart, chrysalis aglow with gratitude. Queen of Sheba would receive the doorway to his heart by and by. So there it becomes a symbolic doorway, you know, to somebody's heart. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Oh, indeed. And feel your thoughts.
You know, I thought this was just a wonderful take on the chosen prompt. I thought it was a creative story, great wording throughout, you know, as you pointed out, the alliteration. Eric did a wonderful job with this piece. So it was a great read, Eric, and thanks for sharing that with us.
And thank you so much, Eric, for the SoundCloud. It's so, so appreciated. Just to tell you all out there that, you know, whenever you, if you ever you have the chance just to make a SoundCloud, an audio, it's so amazing to hear your poetry and your own voice. So don't be shy. Make those SoundClouds. Send them in. We're so appreciated. And Phil, where are you taking us next?
Oh, hell, I don't know. I'm coming to you. That's where I'm going. Okay, here we go. And whenever you're ready, Naomi.
Okay. By Linda. Unapologetically LMB. Behind closed doors. The door invaders came. The door went were shut. The doors were shut. There was laughter once inside this house, behind stained glass, through which the light and sun would stream. Doors that held the glass well-oiled, touch of hands which once cupped warmth, hands that reached for loved ones safe in rooms where sadness was defied. Every day shone blue, and each minute that day could be counted by the loving glances shared between the many pairs of eyes that greeted one another, only seeing ordered family chaos until the day invaders came, blown in by fetid hatred's stinking breath. Defiant ivy still grows green, refusing to succumb. And poem. This is a great write by Linda. Just wow. You know, there's something about it, you know, that last blown in by fated hatred, stinking breath, defiant ivy still grows green, refusing to succumb. You know, the day the invaders came, anything can be the invaders, you know. It can come in any form, in any emotion, in any trial to disrupt the happiness that once was there. So I think this poem is amazing because it is superbly written, but also it leaves your imagination, you know, and it's very powerful, you know. You know, anything can be that invader. So you're never at you're always at the mercy of something, you know, to come and disrupt your peacefulness, you know, if you let it. So I just thought this was an amazing piece. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. This is just absolutely a wonderful piece. It's another one that it's dark, it's haunting. You know, to me, it's got a sadness to it because there was a love, a togetherness that was lost. And it felt like it was lost, you know, well, like blown by fetid hatred, stinking breath. Like you feel like the love was lost to hatred, to you know, the not being accepted and not being loved. But I really enjoyed the end line. Defiant ivy still grows green, refusing to succumb. like the idea that life is still there, love still has a possibility. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Oh, indeed. And Tom, your thoughts?
It opened with the day the invaders came, the doors were shut. Before that, they were open, and all the things that were wonderful inside mixed with all the things that were wonderful outside. There was laughter inside this house. And the laughter let the doors work and things were good. And then later, blown in by fetid hatred, stinking breath. Therein lies the shame. It's not the sadness or bad things or good things didn't happen, but life was vital and vibrant and alive. But when hatred entered, when the real negative that pulls down all possibility walked in, the door is open. And all that love could be hidden away. And that's what makes that last line, defiant ivy still grows green, refusing to succumb. So powerful, because no matter how great the hatred, there's always something or someone that will save you for it. Really struck me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. This is just a stunning piece here by Linda. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was really well penned. And again, I thought it was a clever take on the prompt. I enjoyed her closing line. But that closing line, I tell you, it gives you that little touch of hope, like that poem earlier that you read, Naomi. Just had that little bit of hope on that line that just kind of lets you hang there and go, okay, not all bad. And I think that that's kind of what I took away with that line there. So nicely done, Linda. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. The fact that something still grows there, it is a sign of hope. It's so true. Great observation there, Phil. And where are you taking us next, Phil?
I'm taking this to Tom. Tom, if you would be so kind as to read this piece, I would much appreciate it.
Okay. Door opened by rest symbol. Doors on the wall, adorned with colorful florets, all flanked by verdant leaves. Elm, it is that you are concealing. Let me secret you are keeping. Hidden behind you, I believe, we discovered of you. Walking through the stairs, have I perhaps reached Alibaba's land? When I say open, Tim, and you will unlock to display the treasures grand, precious stones, gold and diamonds. Have I not correctly spoken? Open up. Oh, open up. Demand. Mounted on the horse, have I arrived at the kingdom of Camelot? Oh, yes. When I would say, reveal yourself, and you will avail to show me the adventures of Arthur, Merlin, and the knight, the whole lot. What fun that would be. I could also join in a couple of them. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself. I, man, of you I am. Find the group. Have I the entrance to Hogwarts? Yes, yes. I would say Alohomora, and you will unlatch to give me the passage to the magical world of Harry and his friends and stay with them round the clock. I would make potions and practice incantations to cast spells. Alohomora. Alohomora. Let me pass. You pass. Are you the portal of Alice's wonder? Indeed. Down the hole I came with the bunny to unlock you and behold the amazing mysteries. So many of them. We'll meet the mouse to the king. There he is, the bunny, near another rabbit hole, munching another red carrot, his favorite. Him in the hole. Where is he taking me? Rolling and rolling, falling. Bump. Oh, no! Why did I wake up? Mind that delightful door. There was so much that I found out. They did. Fables came true to life. Bewitching forests, enchanted, forbidden hands, wizards. And witches, knights in armor, and commonly made fascinated, all of them, dragons and beasts, fairies and nymphs, fantastic creatures. I could carry on and on, heavenly. There was the joyous imagination, and there was the thrilling anticipation. Now, there is back to mundane reality. I am and
great read there, Tom. Too bad there's so much static there. You keep fading in and out, but overall, we heard it not too bad there. It's too bad for that static. I don't know what's going on. You know, this is just amazing. You know, the way she takes us from one realm to another, you know, the night, to the Harry Potter, to Alice in Wonderland. You know, it's just like when you're, I just felt like when I was in one of my books, you know, and you're in a reality world and you're in your novel and you're in this imaginary world and you have to go back to the mundane. Oh, my. Oh, wash the dishes. Dirty dishes in the sink. You know, it's just, anyway, it's just an amazing, amazing ride here, you know, that took us everywhere, took us on an amazing, amazing journey. What were your thoughts? Is Pam back? I didn't see. Pam, are you there? No. What did you think, Tom? I know you just finished reading it, but that was an amazing read. What did you think of this write that you just read?
Of all the possibilities of imagination, and how in our imagination we can visit anything we want to visit. All we have to do is open the door, fall through the hatch, roll down the hole, whatever it may be. Suddenly we are there and we can participate. And perhaps the hardest thing of all is learning how to deal with that mundane reality. Because there's so much wonder and joy in our imagination. I just thought it was really kind of cool the way she pulled it off. Very well done.
Yeah, and I just enjoyed this piece. It was enchanting. And, you know, the last line there, back to the mundane reality I am. It's just like, oh, dum, dum, dum. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought it was a wonderful tale told. You know, there's been so many really great pieces tonight. I mean, I feel like I'm just saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. So everybody have to forgive me because I'm not all that creative these days. But I thought it was created and loaded with great imagery. You know, very, very well done. And I love this, well, there's a lot of it I really like. But behind that delightful, this, you know, blind, wow, let me try it again in English. Behind that delightful door, there was so much that I found out. They never did, but today they did. Fables came true to life, bewitching forests, enchanted gardens, forbidden lands. And he just goes on and on. And I thought that was just a really great stanza to drop in there, you know, because it was like all-encompassing. And I think that, you know, it was a good set of words to express really what was all running through his head about, you know, the story itself. You know, I think that just means it could have gone any direction, and it would have suited him. So nice work.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Great write indeed. Awesome comment there, Phil. And Pam, what are your thoughts? Are you back, Pam?
I am back, yes. You know, I thought this was absolutely wonderful. I like how it's all about the magic of imagination, the magic of delving into a favorite book and escaping for a few hours. And, you know, I just really enjoyed this all the way through and very well done.
Yeah, it's true. All about the escaping, eh? The imagination. What can it do? It can take you to so many doors and open them wide. And Phil, where are we going next?
Oh, I don't know. Let me see. I do have something picked out. I have something for Pam. Very cool, very cool. Miss Pam, there you go. Whatever,
yes.
You're ready.
Okay. Let me just pick the last word of my sentence. And there we go. And this is Same Rhyme by... Same Rhyme by Mae Frost, and it goes like this. Painting on the door, is it art or garbage? Is the artist just a part, just a percentage? They say we are criminals against the system. I am just one more cynical alien locked on our own world, the crazy ones, only ones who understand their own words, only the crazy ones know. What do we find beyond the door? That's art. That's a history. But they don't see it like that. They may be scared beyond the door. You can't prepare. There is no map, no way you can track. You close your eyes, pretend you don't see, made up lies. Don't even know how to be, but the door's eyes were open and they have woken up. So there is nothing they can make up. Create their own imagery. If we don't open this door, everything will always be the same. No discovery, same beliefs, same doctrines. The artists will lose their strength. Keep on always with the same lines and poem.
It's just such a deep message throughout this whole poem. You know, that she chose a door with an artistic painting on it. You know, a painting on the door, is it art or garbage? Is the artist just a part, just a percentage? You know, the art can be so many things, but I think, you know, what she's saying in this poem also is that you have to open up to your, you know, you can't be closed-minded. You have to open up to different different possibilities, the different, you know, arguments out there, different ways of seeing things, different interpretations. You know, you have to see the gray. You can't just live in white or black. You have to take the time to see the gray that's out there. I think what she's trying to say here, you know, like in Mary Poppins, seeing beyond the end of your nose, you know, looking at the world and seeing more. What did you think, Tom?
I like the idea, first, of asking, is the author the criminal? Is their imagination and the way they change things, look at things, decorate things, somehow dangerous? Then what about those who afraid to open, afraid to go through? They may be scared, but you can't prepare. There is no map, no way you can track. I mean, that's great. Those who are afraid to win, they become people who no longer will fit in the world that has been created. I like the way she takes this because she's constantly asking questions about what we believe to be true versus what could be true versus ways we want to do things so that we feel safe versus the way things are when everything is set. Yeah, it's just some great, great thinking here and wonderful imagery to bring us to sort of question and look around at what we see ourselves. Very well done.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Very well done indeed. You know, the way she gets her message out there. What did you think, Pam? That was an amazing, amazing read.
Yeah, I thought that was an absolutely brilliant write. I like the questions throughout. I like how she reminds us that it's the artist's job, the poet's job, to help people to move forward, to see things in a new way, a new light, to go beyond the possibilities of their, you know, narrow possibilities, to expand their thinking. I really like, what do we find beyond the door? There's art, that's a history, but they don't see it like that. You know, there's so much within the art behind the idea of, you know, the difference between how an artist thinks and how somebody who sees something very just black and white thinks. And so excellent writing, very well done.
Yeah. Well done indeed. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, another one. I thought these thoughts were nicely expressed. And it was a great take on the door prompt. I'm not sure which door it was, but it was a door prompt. And you could tell. But I liked her closing stanza. If we don't open this door, everything will always be the same. No discoveries, same beliefs, same doctrines. The artists will lose their strengths. Keep on always with the same line. You know, if you don't open the door and take a chance and step outside of that zone, you know, things never do change. So great thoughts there and clever work.
Yeah, very clever indeed. You know, I love how you see how you know, the doors inspire people in different ways. It's amazing to see. And so great write there, Mae Frost, and I hope we see more writing from you in the future. And Phil, where are we going next?
I don't know. I think I would like it. So that brings me to you. So let me grab that one. And then I'm going to have Thomas read his piece, and then we'll take it from there. So, okay, here we go. Naomi, whenever you're ready.
Yes. Just getting there. Getting there. Got there. By Garden Delights. If doors could tell stories. Nature sends fast-growing vines, suctioning the life from me, binding me from breathing freely. My doors are choked off, frozen in places, lights crushed, stairs blockaded. Bands of ripe sunlight filter between window slates, dust motes rising like migrating butterflies. Ghostly sheets cover derelict furniture, perilously sagging after long draughts, decay. Poetic graffiti preaches wisdom to shiplap walls and to any rodents wishing to become better read. I, the keeper of the door, stretch and twist to ease these living bonds growing around me. Once the finely dressed, appropriately comported, pass possessively among my halls and doorways. Servants bowed slightly and ran most everything. Hands were kissed while servile bows plunged lower, calling cards accumulated, white promises now lying scattered, driftwood on a dark, placid ocean. Should a cleaning crew take charge, loosening my fetters, I vow to keep this home forever free. End poem. Yeah, this is just amazing. You know, the whole thing is like a metaphor, the whole extended metaphor. Tom, I would like your thoughts on this piece first.
Is it a discussion of how time heals from everything and everyone, or, you know, nature sends fast-growing vines, suctioning the life of the sea? Or is it more about the ways we cease to care over time, tend to be little things, turn away, and we forget, as she goes in the last few verses, the grandeur of what once was, the gifts that were there, so splendid and magnificent, and how much all that could become again if we just were willing to let things continue instead of tearing them down, letting entropy win. That's an interesting piece in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does make you think on different levels. Like, you know, it's what's amazing about it is that it takes you in different directions here. Pam, your thoughts?
I thought this had amazing imagery and metaphors throughout. I did like that it was that extended metaphor, that it was, you know, a personification of the house itself. And I really liked poetic graffiti preaches wisdom to shiplap walls and to any rodents wishing to become better read. I, keeper of the door, stretch and twist to ease those living bonds growing around me. You know, there's just such a, I don't know, it's beautiful, the idea of the kind of protectiveness within those lines. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, very well done indeed, this write. So clever. And Phil, your final thoughts on this? Hello, Phil?
go all night without doing it, so I had to mute myself. Anyway. You know, yeah. But I thought it was really well-planned and creative. I enjoyed how they wrote from the perspective of the house itself. And I like how they kept the element of when she spoke from that perspective, it reflected how the house was before, not how it looks now, in a lot of lines. You know, when she talks about the halls, the finely dressed appropriately comported passed divisively among my halls and doorways. You know, servants bowed slightly. How she drew in all the wonders of how it used to be, you know, into this room. And I like that because I think that needed to be said, you know, not just about how it is now, you know, what really mattered was how it was before, you know, because how old. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really
amazing comment there. Amazing lines in this piece. You know, the line that Pam recited there is just amazing, but, you know, there's just so many amazing lines in this piece. So, bravo, Garden Delight. And Phil, so that brings us to Tom's piece.
Yes, it does. So, Thomas, whenever you.
Yesterday's doors. You woke up that morning when the carriage arrived. The neighing horses, the driver with his long whip, top hat, shot in his feet, and on the brake, tied off, waiting for you. The shower through trees. We were all ready for you to begin your great adventure. It seemed as if the clouds parted and away you flew. Forever far gone. Life is written too quickly for memory to be perfect. Dream, replace. Did you forget us? When the wind hit, could you hear our prayer, the rain of our tears? Perfection is a hallway leading to a false god. It gilded rats, polished reflection rats around post twos, could be's in league with charlatans and ghosts. In a whirlwind of expectations, the magic of generations' desires, you never knew that a fire, a race to keep up with the wonder and fantasy. It seemed like reaching for stars kept taking you farther, farther. Still, a call was heard, no more than an echo, a memory. Goodbye, Edie Hampton. People stared at the boy. The smell of fumes, strange and gray, filled the air. Cobblestone streets, now smooth, even as the sound of horses' hooves drummed with promise. Coming home. No lighted door. Windows. Going to receive the light, the wonder and tales that fill your heart. Shall I take you back to the beginning, my dear? You tighten your hand on Carrie's door. You think, do what you think is best. Breeze, sighs, birds sing. learn how time could be tricked. End quote.
Oh, wow. What a wonderful, amazing write here, Tom. I just enjoyed, I just loved this piece. You know, there's just such a feeling, you know, it's just such a deep message, so powerful, but also the emotion and the way that it's written, it's also, you know, has deep, deep emotion in it. You know, the just the way you described the beginning and then you take it back to the end, you know, how we flee from our everyday life, try to escape it to become, you know, something for, to become something more popular or more amazing, or thinking that something, or the grass is greener on the other side, or, you know, just escape. And then to come back and think that, you know, just in the beginning we had peace and we were okay and we were, everything was fine, and you know, but we just like chucked it all away trying to run after, I don't know, like illusion or something. That's what I got out of it. But such a deep, powerful piece. Pam, your thoughts on Tom's write?
Yeah, I have to agree. This was absolutely magical. I liked the imagery throughout, the mention of the cobblestone, the light that danced and showered through trees. I like how this is another one that has, you know, kind of nostalgic feel, like looking back in time. Looking back, you know, not only at a time historically, the idea of two people who are remembering, you know, what used to be. And I really like caught in a whirlwind of expectations and magic of a generation's desires. You never knew more than a fire, a race to keep up with wonder and fantasy. Just absolutely beautiful lines there, Tom, and very well done.
So well said there, Pam. So agree. And Phil, your thoughts on Tom's piece?
You know, Thomas, this was really a great write. I loved where the image took you. But, you know, it's so strange because I keep getting this feeling, and I'm almost afraid to ask. But this reminds me of the way some of this is written. I picture it as an undertaker's carriage. And I'm not sure if I'm like, way off. Or where I really am with that, because there's parts of it that actually make me think I'm right. You know, forever is carved into stone. Life is written too quickly for memory to be perfect. Dreams replace hope. Did you forget us? When the wind blew, could you hear our prayers, the rain of our tears? You know, parts of it were just kept taking me back there. And I don't know if that was intentional or just where my mind took me. But I think
I
it was really...
Sterling and a little bit of the Twilight Zone. So,
well, there you go. There you go. But it definitely was a well done piece. You know, there's so many great lines. I was going to pull a stanza, and that was the one I was going to pull to put down into my comment. Just really great stuff. Just great stuff. Wonderful imagery. Very detailed, and I thought it was great. So. That was a nice one to hear. Thank you. Good to have you back.
Yeah, an amazing, amazing write, Tom, here. You know, I got a lot out of it anyway. You know, I got a whole, like, a whole life lesson out of this. I don't know if I read too much into it, but, you know, that's what I got out of it. You know, just the time passing and you don't appreciate it. But would you like to say a few words on your poem, Tom?
I think the whole I feel like there's a door just thinking, you know, what happened is you left a bright and bustling house, went off and lived your life and suddenly decided you should return home. And you think about how fast things have changed in the last 100 years, it was not all that long ago the cars were invented and planes, and we're all ready to rock ships and talking about cars that don't need drivers. Suddenly come back, the cobblestones are gone, and there you are on the still living sort of with 1 foot in the past and 1 foot in the present and sort of nowhere to go, and the anchor that was there for you is gone. Back to the beginning, my dear.
Yeah, great job, Tom.
Yeah, great job. Very very witty and clever take on that prompt. Amazing, right? Thank you so much, Tom. And thank you so much for phoning in and reading that for us tonight. So appreciate it. And can you stay with us a little bit longer, Tom? Or the show is over.
Yeah,
I just thought it.
I was just going to say that.
I just looked at the clock. Oh my goodness, the show is over. Well, I already said thank you to Tom. So, and you know, I want to thank you, Phil, and for all that you do. And, you know, thank you, Pam, for always being there, too. And thank you, everybody that wrote for the you know, the contests and writes for our shows. As we so appreciated you. And, good night. If you don't have anything else to add, ladies, I'll just say good night to all of you. And good night, Tom.
Great night. Great prompt, Naomi. Great show. And, Tom, don't be a stranger.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, good night, everybody.